The first reading this morning is from Luke chapter 8 verses 1 to 3. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping support them out of their own means. And the second reading is Matthew 18, verses 1 to 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me."
Over the last two Sundays, we studied Jesus, the Game Changer series. We talked about how Jesus has influenced and influences our culture and our society. Jesus is a person in history, and the message of Jesus changed the hearts of individuals who then went on to shape and change the world. We also talked about God created us in his own image. All people are equal and should be treated equally. As we are going to think about today's topic, which will be women and children, and I would like to just talk with our chairperson of the church council, Pamela. So, Pam, and how do you as a woman find your leadership in the church?
I find that women, especially in the Uniting Church, are very welcomed. And I think that's very important to all the women in this congregation and in churches, that we are treated as equal and we are given positions of responsibility. We can even have a Bible study over men.
Right, thank you. So see, I guess, I don't know whether in the past the history of Lugano Picos Uniting, or even in the past it was called Union Church and United Church in some stage. Are you the first women council chairperson? No?
Chairperson.
Oh, Pam. You are the first one. So, see, you know, today, Ellie is leading our service, and now we have the chairperson of our church council is a woman. Wow. What a good congregation we are. Okay, before we move on, you know, let us pray. Grace and loving God, bless now the word of my lips and the meditation of our hearts. Breathe your spirit into us and grant that we may hear and in hearing be led in the way you want us to be and to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When things were going tough in the Garden of Gethsemane 2,000 years ago, men were asleep. Men. It is confronting, isn't it? He, Jesus, in the garden with his disciples, he is vulnerable. He's under great pressure. He is expressing such stress, and he needs his male friends in this moment of need. His friends in sleep. He's arrested. And he's taken to a trial before the Sanhedrin, or Jewish ruling council, then sent to Herod. He is sent to Pilate. Where are his male friends? By the time he carries across to Golgotha, the men have scattered. The women beside John are present at Golgotha. They are there, weeping, wailing, praying, watching, and witnessing. Jesus died on that cross. After he's taken down, he's taken to the tomb, and it is women who do the work. And a few days later, there are women who again go to the tomb to do more. Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb with other women to add spices to the body of Jesus because it was a custom as an act of honor and respect for the dead person. It is the women there when going gets tough. So we shouldn't be surprised that it was a woman who first met with the resurrected Jesus Christ. However, if we lived in the first century, we would be surprised because we wouldn't be able to trust the fact that the first witness to the resurrected Jesus was indeed a woman. As Carl says on the Jesus the Game Changer, the testimony of the women in the first century in the Roman culture was completely ignored. And yet, it is recorded as an account of the resurrection. This is significant and makes actually record of the New Testament extraordinary ordinary. Unique, I say. Extraordinary, unique. And this is a couple of reasons. First, it tells us truth because anyone who are making this up doesn't write there the woman is the first person. They wouldn't have had women to see the resurrected Jesus. It would be a man that met the Jesus first. And second, it immediately raised the status of women. It gives them voice, it gives them authority, it gives them respect, and it honors them. In modern societies, like in the nations such as Australia, it is really hard to grasp what it was like to be a woman or in the place of children at the time of Jesus. And there are still struggles for women to gain equality in pay in many occupations, as I said in the last Sunday. And recent revelations from the entertainment industry show that the abuse of women by powerful men still exists. These attitudes should be challenged and ought not be part of a society where we believe in the equality of men and women. While there is still more to be done, the difference between a women's life today and that in the past is black and white. Carl mentioned that there were some wealthy and powerful women in Jesus' day that had a position and power. However, this was a tiny and insignificant number against the general population. The place of children today in most Western nations is one of care and protection. That is not to say that the people of Jesus' day didn't care for their children, but children were not treated with the same worth as they are today. In the case of women, Carl mentioned that they had no rights and they were treated as possessions by the men in their lives. The Greek philosopher Plato wrote that women were inferior to men in every way, intellectually, physically, and emotionally, and should be treated as such. This is the mindset. Women were married to old men in their mid to late teens, Carl said, and had a little choice in who they married. They had no rights in the marriage, and the expectation was that they would produce male offspring. They could be divorced easily. A woman couldn't present herself to a court. And there is a kid, went back in his book, called When Children Became People. It's a very interesting title. When Children Became People, quotes Plato again, and writes that he frequently grouped children together with other marginal actors in classical society, women, slaves, and animals. So children, women, slaves, and animals were all in the same category. And the low place of children, particularly babies and women in general, was demonstrated by an awful practice of exposure, Carl spelled out earlier. Girls were a drain on the family and a financial liability for the future. Therefore, they were viewed as expendable. This is a culture back rights, where children and slaves were father's property, just like material objects. To a very large extent, he could treat his wife, his children, and other household members as he pleased, without the fear of legal consequences. And Jesus comes into this culture and saying, this is not God's intention. And in fact, it never was. Jesus tells us by his words and shows us by his actions that the kingdom of God is fundamentally different. The way back in the beginning, before sin entered the world, everything was perfect. People lived in harmony with God. Men and women were treated equally. As we look at the Bible passage of Genesis 1:27 says, so God created the mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Both created equally in the image of God. This was a plan from the beginning. Mutuality, equality, unity, not necessarily same, but equal. Jesus comes into the world to restore the sense of mutuality, equality, and unity. To restore our relationship with God and all people, men and women, God has a plan for all of us and uses both men and women in ministry, in leading and in teaching, and we see this throughout the scripture. I mean, at the beginning, and there was a short video clip regarding, you know, amazing and women in the Bible. And these are the 15 of them, you know, who actually take all kinds of roles in their community of faith. God honors women, and he gives authority and respect. In Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42, we find Mary. We know the story of Mary and Martha. You know, while Martha was working away to prepare a meal, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, the place of learning. In Jewish culture, the only reason to learn is that you teach. And this is what Jesus did for his disciples for 3 years. He taught them, so they would go and teach others. Jesus obviously welcomes Mary learning so that she can go and teach. He lifts her up. He gives her honor and respect by saying, you have a value. You have a job. You have a role in this church. It was shocking for Martha. What's going on here? And we have the Samaritan woman in John 4, the first person who Jesus revealed himself as the Messiah becomes a preacher and proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ to the whole community of hers. The first person understands Jesus as the Messiah. Carl talks about the three women mentioning in Luke chapter 8 verses 1 to 3, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna. Susanna and many other women financially supported Jesus. Jesus took money from women. They supported his ministry and they are part of it. This is how church worked. This is how God sees his people, men, women, and children. They have value, worth. They have purpose. Jesus' life and teaching made a radical difference to women in the way, by the way he treated them. And the example he gave to the early church. And the early church gave women an opportunity to participate in ministry and how to sense significant. It was a way ahead of the culture which they lived. Women who were leaders took responsibility for all kinds of things. They were ministry colleagues and fellow travelers in mission, so accordingly, women flourished the Christian communities. It was the Christian community, women were valued and given authority. And then, there is the kids. Jesus loves children, as we see, as we have heard one of our today's message and the passages, Matthew 18, 1 to 5. Now the kingdom was the favorite topic of Jesus. When he speaks about the kingdom, actually he's speaking into the culture and context of many levels of power. There was the Roman Empire, the power of the Sanhedrin, the power of the Pharisees, and the power of man. And he talks about the kingdom. That's fronted to Roman directly. It is also fronted to the Jewish ruling council. It is fronted to these people. This setup is how the society was set up. What did he do? He takes the child and puts the child among them. The child was supposed not to be seen and not to be heard. And he said, the children are the example of faith. Not the highest of the highest priests, not anyone of the Sanhedrin, not the Pharisees, anybody else, yet it is the child. The children are the examples of faith. Again, the people in that day would have been utterly shocked. Children had no right. They were property of the Father. Yes, they would be loved, but Jesus was saying this is an example of, they are example of faith. They would have been blown away. No wonder what people, you know, might have started to talk, and maybe they would be saying, oh, not sure I like what this guy was saying. It is way too far out of our comfort zone. But that is God's kingdom. That's what God's kingdom looks like. So Jesus treated women and children in a radically different way than the culture of his day. And so should we. We are Christian people. This is how we are to behave. This is how God sees women and children in our society. And yet, even with this radical change made over 2,000 years, and with all the shifts across the globe for women's rights, there are a lot of ongoing challenges for us. Sex slavery and trafficking of women globally continues to be an enormous challenge. Women are being objectified constantly in advertising and media. Domestic violence continues to grow in Australia as women die at the hands of their partners or ex-partners. 2.4 million women in Australia have experienced of a sexual harassment in the past. There are millions of slaves in the world today. Only 1% of them ever get rescued. Only 1% out of all those millions of slaves actually have gone back to their family again. Human trafficking and sex slavery are the fast-growing criminal industry in the world, generated more than $199 million every year. I read about women in Nepal who had to sell her child into bonded labor to feed the rest of her family. And then there is involuntary domestic servitude, forcing a person to work and live in the same place with a little of no money. And child soldiers, forcing the child to participate in an armed force. These things are hard to grasp in our world today, and it shouldn't be existed. What's even more shocking is that the slavery can be found everywhere, even in Australia here. Australia is a destination country for modern slavery. You may say, really Australia? But it is true. More victims of trafficking into our countries from South Asia, and often it causes forcing labor and sexual exploitation. There are about 15,000 slaves in Australia as of 2016. Possibly more. We don't really know. So there is still much to do. And it is Jesus who speaks into this. and his people. You know, we are his people. We are the one who can make a difference in the world where women are continuing to be treated as objects. It is the message of Jesus that helps women see themselves as free to be themselves in Jesus Christ. There is a guest speaker on the Game Changer, Joe Vitale. She says this: I have found a freedom that I don't see anywhere else in our culture. A freedom from being objectified. Freedom from being seen as just a sexual object. A freedom to become who God has called me to be in every aspect of life. And it is not about meeting cultural expectations and what society says I have to do. It is about who does God call me to be. I found it interesting, as Carl mentioned, that there is a view that Christianity devalues women. And it has to be said that certainly some biblical verses have been still taken out of context and used to control the mean and even abuse women. But this is not of God in any way. Jesus was definitely counterculture in a way he treated women and children, but this is perfectly aligned with God and God's plan from the very beginning. And it is sad that Christianity is labeled as a misogynistic religion by some people because nothing is further from the truth. So the challenge of this message is, if you are man, you must reconsider again how you see women, how you think about women, and how you treat women. Women, think about how God sees you and what he wants you to be. Remember, you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of your Creator, God our Father. You shouldn't be judged on your appearance. Christ has given you the freedom to live a life being the person you have been created to be. I pray that we will be kind of a community that allows each and every person to be all that God calls them to be. We are in such a great place, aren't we? We have Jesus Christ. We have good leaders. We have this community of people, and we can be an example to the world. We can make a difference of the world. We can extend the kingdom of God as we are what God calls us to be. So this is the message we would have heard this morning. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are such a gracious God. You are such a gracious God. We are sinners, we get the wrong, but you come into that, you speak into that. You say, no, you have a value, every person has a value, and you made the way for us to come into your presence despite our sins. You have lifted each of us up, men, women, and children as equal in your sight, fully loved, equally forgiven, equally blessed, equally important, equally valued. We thank you for that, God. We thank you for the message. We pray that we would be the people after your own heart, that we would see where equalities existed, we would seek to correct, that we would challenge our own selves when we have stereotyped of people, that we would grow to be more like Jesus every day. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.